Sigler Ministries, sharing the good news. Gary teaches practical lifestyles, with his main thrust being to reveal the Father heart of God toward humanity. May God richly bless you in your quest for a true spiritual life. And now, here's Gary.
We want to continue this morning in the Gospel of John. And we emphasized last time that in the beginning was the Word, and that it does not say in the beginning was Jesus. And I emphasize that because all of our lives, most of us, including myself, when we read that in the beginning was the Word, interpret that to mean Jesus. But Jesus was the Word made flesh. And the reason that's important to understand is that when you see that by revelation, that the Word was made flesh, you can see that you also are the Word made flesh. And so we talked a lot about the Word and the spoken Word and what you believe and what you speak. But now we want to look at verse 4 in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. We must realize that life is in the Word. As I shared last time, that it is the Word that causes us to be born again. In other words, it's the Word that quickens our spirit and regenerates our spirit and brings us into the true life that lies dormant within our being. When we hear that Word, whether it's from the Scripture, whether it's from a man speaking, whether it's just sitting in the quiet and hearing the Lord speak to you, it is the Word that has the light that brings the life to your being. In Him was life, and the life was the light. The early church left the living Word and fell into doctrines and teachings. And right up to this very day, the greatest obstacle to the Church of the Living God, the biggest detriment to believers, is living by doctrine rather than life. Living by an outward code of conduct, whether it be the Ten Commandments or whether it be a church charter, this is what alienates and separates and divides the Church of God when it should be united in His life. The only important thing is to know Him and to have His life quickened within you and to begin to live by that life, begin to follow that inner guidance that is within you. And we will find out that we have different beliefs and we'll form different doctrines. But if we realize that each of us individually is being led by our spirit, there's room for differences of opinion. There's room for different beliefs. But if we hold on to the doctrine and we hold on to the belief that would separate us from one another, then we'll never know the joy of the living church that is united not in doctrine and not in belief, but united in His life. It is not possible to know life or truth by holding on to doctrines and belief systems. The various doctrines and teachings are what caused the early church to go into darkness. And prevailing unto this very day is the intellectual gospel, the intellectual teachings that would cause us to think that we are right and others, if they don't believe like we do, cannot possibly be right. What is really important? I want to say this again. The really important thing is to know Him. And when I say Him, I don't mean Jesus in an outward way. I don't mean to necessarily know Him as the man of Galilee who healed the sick and to raise the dead. Today, you can know Him that way, but that's the intellectual knowledge of knowing Him. That's the history of the man Jesus. But to really know Him, you must know Him, the Word. You must know the Word inwardly. You must have that Word spoken within you. You must come alive in the power of the Word. And I would say, too, that you must come alive in the power of your Word. in the power of your spoken word that is a creative force in your life. The various doctrines and teachings, they cannot possibly bring you life. Even if you are right in your doctrine, it cannot bring you life. What brings you life is a heart that seeks after God. What brings you true life is to have that life formed in you so that you become as He is. You know, the scriptures clearly teach us that as He is, so are we in this world. And the only way you can find that by experience is to know Him inwardly, is to have that light shine within you and cause life to spring up within your being. The fifth verse of the chapter 1 of John says, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." The Amplified says it this way, "The darkness has never overpowered the light." You know, there's so much darkness in the world today. And not only in the world, but there's so much darkness in the church. The church is so much under oppression and depression because of not having the light shine within their being. I've shared so many times that, you know, if there's darkness in a room, all you need to do is turn on the light switch. When our experience has been when we're in the dark and in confusion and depression, we fight the darkness. We bind the devil, when in reality all we need to do is let the light shine. And as the light shines within us, it expels all the darkness. If you can learn to turn on the light within your being, oh, you say, how do I do that? You speak the living word. Father, I'm so thankful to know that in You there is light. Father, I know that in You there is no bitterness. I know that in You there is no depression. There is no anger. Father, I thank You that Your light is beginning to shine within me and beginning to fill all the dark places so that the darkness is scattered. And Father, I'm so thankful that I now walk in the light as You are in the light. Hallelujah. Most of us know the scriptures so well. We know that Jesus conquered death, hell, and the power of the devil. Yet, when we get into trouble, instead of, you know, believing the truth and speaking the truth, we try to bind something that's already been bound. We try to fight something that's already been overcome. You have been transferred out of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son. Once we experience being transferred into the kingdom of His Son, and it's not just a belief system, but it's an actual experience, we know that the victory of the cross is our victory. We know that every sin, every habit, every mistake was annihilated at the cross. We know that when Jesus resurrected from among the dead, He raised all of humanity up and seated all of us together in heavenly places. That is for where we need to be speaking from. We need to be speaking from a consciousness, awareness of being seated with Christ. We need to ask God for the wisdom and the revelation knowledge and the light of His Word to penetrate into the darkness of our carnal mind and to cause us to stand up in the power of His Word, cause us to stand up in the knowledge of who we are in Christ. Oh, we know that we're nothing in ourselves, but in Christ, when Christ begins to stand up within us, we then know that by the power of the spoken word, we can defeat our enemies. The darkness, the depression, the power of evil, all of those things can only defeat us if we believe they can. And I realize that when you experience darkness, when you're experiencing confusion, when you're experiencing doubt, it's very difficult to believe in the power of the Word. But you must find this deep within your being. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6, it says, "For God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." For God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. So when we're depressed, when we're angry, whatever it is that is seemingly, you know, pressing us down, we need to realize, remember that God has caused the light to shine in our hearts. And so sometimes we just need to get into the quiet and to open ourselves and to discover the light beginning to shine within our being. And listen, when that light begins to shine, you can be so depressed, you can be so angry. But when the light begins to shine, it just dispels all of the darkness. One of the most wonderful experiences we can have is that light dispelling our darkness. That light is shining in our hearts. But the problem is, when we get into trouble and we get depressed and we get angry, we don't go to where the light is. We mostly stay in our minds and we try to think our way out of it, or we try to fight our way out of it, or we try to bind the devil, or we run to a prophet or a preacher. We run, you know, so many places to try to find help. But if we just learn that our help comes from the Lord, our help comes from deep within our being, the light of God is ever shining and just waiting for you to be quiet and open. Begin to fellowship with the Father. Begin to sing or whatever you can do to turn your darkened mind to the light of God that is within you, and you will find that the darkness can never overpower your light. Again, when we really see Jesus by revelation, when we really see the Word by revelation, we will understand that just as Jesus is, we are. In the Word is life, light, and love. So rather than speak all the negative things, we speak life, we speak light, and we speak love. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, it says this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." This is a really important verse for us to, you know, really meditate on. Because all of us are in these earthen vessels. All of us have entered into this physical realm, having lost the awareness of our true nature and identity. And we have picked up this false identity of being a human being, separated and alienated from God. Most Christians still today, in their consciousness, to a great degree, are separated and alienated from the life of God that is within them. So it's important to realize that the treasure is the Spirit. The treasure is the character, the nature, the loveliness, the compassion, the essence of God. The treasure is in this earthen vessel. You know, and as Watchman Nee said so many years ago, that there is no vessel so earthly that it does not contain the treasure. All of us, looking at the natural man, no matter how good, no matter how bad, no matter how evil, no matter if you're a pauper, no matter if you're a thief, no matter if you're a king, you have the treasure in your earthen vessel. And what keeps so many of us locked in the bondages of defeat and failure is not focusing on the treasure. No, you know, no matter how desperately you want to manifest the life of God on this earth, no matter how many scriptures you read a day, no matter how much time you spend in prayer a day, we must realize that the treasure is in the earthen vessel. And realize that the cross annihilated the earthen vessel. Oh yes, we're still dealing with it, but the power is in the word to defeat the carnality that's in the vessel. The problem is, for most of us, we look at the vessel more than we look at the treasure. So when we look at the vessel rather than the treasure, and we're trying to be godly, we're always living a life of defeat and failure because we're trying within this carnal nature to be as God on this earth. We must stop looking at the earthiness of our vessel and focus on the treasure. Because no matter what you focus on, you will become. And, you know, you can look at the natural and see that there are people who focus their whole lives on certain aspects. Some people focus their whole life on sports. They live sports. They breathe sports. They talk sports. They know everything about sports. They literally become a walking, living, talking sportsman. There are many things in our lives that we can focus on. Most Christians, again, focus on what is wrong with them rather than what is right. So when you get around a Christian, you'll hear them talk about everything but the truth of their being. You'll hear them say, you know, I've lived in this place all of my life. I've never had anything good happen to me. Every time I get some extra money, something comes up to take it. I've lived with this habit for years, and I'll never overcome it. And the more you focus on the negativity of your life and talk about it, you must realize if you talk about your problems, if you talk about your situations, you will never come out of them. You must realize that in the Word is life. In Him was life. And the life is in the Word. And the Word is in you. The light is in you. And when you stop focusing on the vessel, the human vessel, stop focusing on that and begin to search for the treasure. You remember what Jesus said? He said, when you have searched for me with all your heart, you will find me. You will find the treasure within yourself. First of all, many years ago when I discovered this truth, and at the time it was just an intellectual truth, something that I began to see, I began to ask God for the wisdom. I began to ask God to open my eyes to see the truth of this vessel. I believe it was back in the early 70s when I first heard Watchman Nee or read Watchman Nee say that there is no vessel so earthy that they did not contain the treasure. When I read that, I began to cry out to God to open my eyes and to let me begin to discover the treasure that was in my vessel. And I discovered that by focusing on the treasure instead of my weakness, instead of the vessel, focus on the treasure within me began to rise up. I found the most beautiful life begin to arise within me. I found that all of the depression, I went for, I don't know how long, I was so depressed because I couldn't live up to the Christian standard. But when I began to see by revelation and understand that I had the treasure, I was just focusing on the vessel rather than the treasure. And then I began to speak from my spirit. And I discovered the truth that the power is in the Word. That the Word is light and life and love. And so it just absolutely transformed my being. So never forget, the treasure is in the earthen vessel. And the more you experience this and have the revelation of this, the more it will change not only you, but it will change those around you. Because those you meet and those you fellowship, those who are with you on your jobs, you will no longer look at them as an earthy vessel. You won't look at them as sinful or whatever, but you will begin to focus on the gold, the treasure that's within them. And you'll be able to minister to them rather than criticize and condemn them. People today are hungry for God. And a lot of them don't even know what they're hungry for. But remember, you are here to manifest Christ on this earth. God is spirit, and spirit is invisible. But in us, God becomes visible, tangible, and touchable. You know, if Jesus was here, you would have no problem believing that. But the time has come when you must begin to believe that about yourself. Not about that old carnal, prideful nature, not the ego, but you must begin to believe that in you all the treasures of godliness are waiting to be revealed. I'd like to remind you again what I've shared in the past, because so many people, you know, accuse me of saying I am God. Well, in a sense, and I say in a sense, that is true. Because as an example, if you go to the ocean and you take a cup of water out of the ocean, all of the elements of the ocean are in that cup of water that you take out of the ocean. But yet that cup is not the ocean. And we must look at ourselves that way. We are but a spark of divine life. Everything that is in God, all of His abilities, all of His loveliness, all of His compassion, everything that God is like that cup of water in our spirit, in our being. All that God is, all that God contains, is in us, but we are not all of God. Even Jesus said, "My Father is greater than I." I'll remind you once again that all things were made by the Word of God. And your life consists of your Word. We live by the Word we speak. If you say, "I am sinful," then you are. If you say, "I'm weak," then you are. And remember, the scriptures say, "Let the weak say, I am strong." We call those things that be not as though they are. So life is in the Word, the living and abiding Word of God. That is where we have life. I want to read you a couple of scriptures about the tongue. Isaiah 50 and verse 4. "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." I think we all know that the tongue is a powerful thing. You know, with the tongue, you can almost literally destroy someone with words of anger and bitterness. How many times has somebody hurt you by the word that they speak? If anyone doubts that there is power in the word, all they have to do is recall when someone has abused them with the power of their tongue. But when we realize the Lord has given us the tongue of the learned, the tongue of the learned is to know that you have the power to speak life, you have the power to speak love, and you have the power to speak light. When you speak to someone who is depressed, there is power in your words to lift them out of the depression. When you find someone in darkness, you have the power in your words to speak light, to dispel their darkness. When you find someone who needs love, you have the power in your word to speak words of love, encouragement. You have the power in your words to cause them to feel and to sense the very love of God that flows from your lips. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 20 says this, "The tongue of the just is as choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little worth." Now, the heart of the wicked would be speaking of our carnal mind. If you speak out of the carnal mind, then you're speaking out of wickedness. Because the carnal mind will speak to someone according to their condition, not according to their true worth. So the tongue of the just is as choice silver. You know, if you're living the life of what you would consider a sinful life, and someone would speak words that would encourage you rather than judge you and condemn you, it will help lift you out of that place that you're in. Now here's what James says about the tongue in chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. Even though the tongue is just a little member and boasts of great things, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. You see, your tongue, the words that you speak, can literally defile your whole body. Because you speak out of your belief system. And again, if you believe that you are a sinner, if you believe all of the bad things about yourself, speaking those things will literally keep you in that prison. For the tongue, as John said, defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. For every kind of beast and birds and serpents and things in the sea and tamed or hath been tamed, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So you see there, even though he says no man can tame the tongue, that is so true. You, in your human nature, in your carnal nature, can never control the power of your tongue with that nature. Because when you get angry, you're going to speak out. When someone abuses you, you're going to speak out. But when you learn the power that's in your spirit, and you begin to walk in the light of the Word of God, you literally can stop that tongue of deadly poison from affecting anyone, but you can begin to speak out of the Spirit of God. So James says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things should not be so. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. So there is great power in our tongue. I realize I've spoken a lot in these last two messages about the tongue, but the Gospel of John begins with the Word. It's the most powerful revelation that you can have. To know, and we do know, that God created by the Word that He spoke. But when you realize that you create by the Word you speak, it is the only thing that will change your life. It is the only thing that will bring you up out of the darkness and the pit that we sometimes get in. It is the only thing that will negate your negative belief systems. The Word is the only thing that will bring unity to the believer. The Word spoken from the Spirit of the living God to dispel all of the doctrines of division and strife. It is the power of the spoken Word that brings us life eternal. Hallelujah.
This concludes this message. For additional copies or more information, write Gary and Carol Sigler, 135 Chinquapin Drive, Brunswick, Georgia, 31523. Phone 912-275-8585 or email gary@sigler.org. All messages are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, however, you may distribute them freely.